podcast.
Welcome to We Knows Parenting. I'm Peter McNerney.
I'm Beth Newell.
We are parents. Ba-ba-ba.
You just raised your glass sky high into the air.
Ba-ba-ba.
Ba-ba-ba.
Ba-ba-ba-ba.
We're drinking.
We're heralding the intro of the We Knows Parenting podcast. For those of you joining us for the very first time, we are parents. We are married. We're delightful. And we have children who are 3. And now... 5 years old.
Yes, Bryn, we own a five-year-old.
We got a five-year-old. We own him.
He's very five.
Oh.
He's very excited to be five.
He wants to let you know about it.
He's been doing kind of like an Oprah voice about it, where he's like, and I'm five.
I'm entering a room and I'm five.
He's so excited to be five. And he likes to tell us that it means that he's getting smarter and stronger and bigger.
And faster.
And faster.
Bigger, stronger, faster.
He's such a big kid.
Oh my God. He cannot wait to tell you how big he is. I tried to throw that in his face. Where I was like, well, if you're a big kid, you'd be ready for bed already. Didn't work.
Yeah, if he was a big kid, I wouldn't have to wrestle him into not kicking and screaming.
So I was like, I'm going to count to 3. And you know what? I counted to 3, and he didn't do it. And so I turned off the lights, and I left the room. And he did not expect me to do it.
Interesting.
And then he went to sleep.
I'll have to try that.
Oh, that's the worst thing you could do to them. Just leave.
A really bad bedtime last night, which was to be expected because it was his birthday and he was all amped up. But the night before, I threatened to, because he wasn't listening about getting in bed or something, and then I threatened to not open his presents the next day. I was like, I'll save your presents for your birthday party in a week. We don't have to open them. And he was like, obviously fighting me, but then at a certain point, he was just like,
it's not worth
it. Okay.
It's not worth the fight.
He's like, he could feel, he's like, do I want to do this?
Yeah, he'll listen. And that's, you know, Maven is still the point where if you give her an ultimatum, she's only seeing the fact that you're challenging her, and then she will not be defeated. But Bryn will logic through things, especially if you stay calm.
Yeah. But tonight, she's like, she still has this thing where she needs to like blow off steam and like be angry for a while.
And
then
you.
She comes crawling back.
It's true.
They both do.
Yeah.
But Bryn has more stamina.
This is something I was like, oh, she's just like Beth in a lot of ways. Because when you get upset, you have a similar, like, I'm not going to budge mentality. But you know what?
Why should
I? You know what? I don't know the answer to that question. But you never come crawling back. That's like,
well, why should I?
That's like your thing.
Well, I think the difference is that I'm always correct.
Oh, okay. So you are more like Bryn than I thought. So Bryn turned 5. We did. I want you to know that I'm my more annoying to you holiday tendencies about tradition and making it perfect and maximum excitement. I'm trying to loosen up about those things. And one of those things is you're totally fine with like spreading the presents out. You're like, we'll do our presents today with them. And then he has a party with the family on Saturday and more presents. And in my brain, I'm like, oh, no, you gotta do all the presents at the same time.
Well, by your logic, you wanted to wait to have all the presents at his birthday party next Saturday. And I was like, let's give him something on his actual birthday so that he feels like it's his birthday. And then when everyone asks him about his birthday at daycare on Monday, he has a story to tell about his actual birthday. Also, he keeps building up this birthday party and claiming that he's inviting all these people that we haven't invited. So I know he's going to daycare and being like, you're coming to my party. He's making it seem like a big party that they're not invited to.
I'm just not talking about it with him.
Anyway.
Because I know he's not going to care.
Well, he forced me to let him write invitations to a couple of his friends, and he made me help him spell it out, and his invitation was the words, "You are coming to my party."
That was he didn't write invitations, he wrote threats.
Yeah, just the entire invitation is just, "You are coming to my party." And he wrote this out for like three of his friends who he seems to think are coming to his party that aren't. Because the party is just like a few family members.
Well, let's be honest. Two of them are out of town and we don't like the third one as much.
I wouldn't say we don't like him.
Here's the thing. We like him just fine. But his mother runs daycare and it is a weird, and Bryn's about to leave the daycare and we're frankly never going to see them again.
Well, this is what you said to me the other day. You're like, he's never going to see him again. We don't need to invite him.
There's weirdness because of weird things that have happened.
I feel bad for this kid because his mother runs daycare, so he's always in this weird dynamic of like feeling like he's at home, but also with all these other kids. Like,
well, he's about to go to kindergarten too, in which case that part of his life is over.
But I would be genuinely curious to see how he would interact with Bryn and just a regular friend hang where there's not like all of this daycare stuff going on that he's been raised with.
That's true.
Just let him be a kid.
It's fine.
But I feel like you're being a little discriminatory to him for being the son of the woman who runs daycare.
Oh, 100%. That is totally why. It's because of her. It's not because of him.
Yeah, you were like, I want to be done with these people. I don't want to be around them socially.
I'm stressed around her, like I'm breaking the rules all the time, and that like we screw up, and I'm like, let's keep it professional.
I understand how you feel because I have the same anxieties of like, this person's mad at me for not having clothes for my kid, etc. But I do feel like that discomfort, I'm worried about just like leaning into it because it creates like a class differential where you're like, this is the kid of the woman who works for me. He can't come to my house.
No, if we loved her, if she was great, we'd be like, let's be friends. Also, you know what? He's about to go to kindergarten. And like, frankly, we're not going to hold on to all these friendships with kids that it's such an effort to see his best friend now who doesn't go to the same school with him.
I know. I just think, you know, maybe if we started to make some effort to hold on to anyone.
We'll make effort once kindergarten starts.
Oh, yeah, that's the deal?
In 2 weeks, I'll start making an effort.
I don't
know. Once this kid's out of our lives. He's not even out of our lives. Maven's going to keep going to this daycare. Anyway, Bryn had a little daycare birthday, and we sent cupcakes. I got the cupcakes. We just got the cheapest ones ever.
Yeah, we very lazily sent grocery store bought cupcakes.
Some Stop and Shop cupcakes.
I'm okay with. And then yesterday, I made the cupcakes from a box. Nothing fancy because we have.
You did?
Yeah, they're up way up high above the cupboards because as you would imagine, our kids ate at least 3 cupcakes in the afternoon.
Oh, you made them on his actual birthday.
Yes, on his real birthday.
You're a great mother. You're a great mother.
I'm a great mother.
Thank you, mother.
Well, I left them on the counter and I told them they both had one and then clearly they were trying to sneak by me and they were doing that thing where they're like, mommy, go in the other room. And I was like, I know you're going to have another. I was like, just let's agree the second one is your last one until after dinner. And then, I mean, I knew what I was getting into leaving them out. So then clearly more cupcakes were taken when I was in the other room. And so then I had to hide them.
Well, and that's appropriate.
Yeah. And then they were just, I mean.
Do you know what miracle happened tonight?
What?
I made, a few things. I made a shrimp and broccoli pizza. And I just made it up.
I didn't see any broccoli on it.
Oh, there's a ton of broccoli on it. Very minimal cheese, actually. You should try it. It's good. I made it up, and it turned out well, and the kids loved it. I thought they were going to hate it, and I would have to, like, boil some hot dogs. But before that, I was making dinner, and Maven came in and opened the fridge like she does. And I always have to be like, no snacks. You can have a banana. You can have fruit or vegetable before dinner, but nothing else. And I didn't even get to say that before she saw a yogurt in the fridge. And she goes, Daddy, if I finish all of my dinner, can I have a yogurt?
Oh, that's good. After she ate literally like 5 yogurts in a day on Saturday.
I was like, yeah, you can. And Brittany goes, can I have an ice pop if I eat all my dinner? I mean, that's what I say to them all the time.
Yeah.
But they said it to me and I was like, yes. Then they scarfed their dinner and I gave them a yogurt and an ice pop. And they didn't ask for another one.
Well, that's what they were doing that last night. I was like, you have to eat some dinner. Like, so I ordered delivery and they had chicken fingers and they weren't really eating it. And I was like, well, I'm not going to force this on them because they're not hungry. I'm just going to let it sit here until they get hungry because I know at bedtime they're suddenly going to act like they're starving. So I was like, just waiting. So then, of course, at a certain point, close to bedtime, they want ice pops. And I was like, you have to eat some of these chicken fingers. And I forced them to eat a little bit, but they didn't eat much. But I was like, at least the point has gotten across that, like, you can't just eat all sugar all day.
Those ice pops are great. 35 calories.
I had another success, which is that. So, okay, first of all,
they're called Good Pops. I recommend them.
Well, I'm actually not going to tell the whole story because it's boring. But I got delivery apple juice that came with one of the chicken fingers. And so I only had one for a dumb reason that they didn't deliver the correct amount. And I put it in the, like, the door of the fridge behind other stuff. And I was like, they won't see this. But then, of course, Bryn found it.
Won't find this thing that's exactly at their eye level. So in the place they hang out for 20 minutes.
So it's like a plastic bottle of apple juice. Bryn carries it into the bedroom and he goes, Mommy, what's this? And I was like, oh, that's a grown-up drink. And he didn't ask any questions. I just took it and hid it up high. And I was so pleased because he thinks he can read, but he can't. Clock is counting down on that one, though.
Oh, it's ticking fast. Maven is struggling with her letters. She's finally into it. When Bryn's not there, I'll like do letters with her.
She's not struggling. She's just 3.
Bryn knew all of his letters before he was 3.
Yeah, because he was an only child and you were constantly coaching him.
Yeah. I'm not worried about her.
Okay, but you said she's struggling.
You're right. Comparatively to Bryn, she's a real idiot. That was sarcastic. That was a joke. She's a brilliant, totally normal 3-year-old.
She's technically smarter than him.
Boy, why do you need that to be true? So when it comes to letters, that's not true. I mean, they have different strengths, different intelligences.
You and I have different measures of intelligence.
Right. We're smart and dumb in different ways.
Mm-hmm. men love things to be very, like, quantifiable by the book.
All men, all the same.
All men. No, I mean, the system reinforces itself where it perpetuates that certain types of people, including men, perpetuate the same biases. So traditional education, like memorization, non-creative things are weighed more heavily than other types of intelligence.
Oh, I agree. I agree with that. Totally. You know, and I was like, I was the kid who was able to read after everybody else.
Yeah, you were an idiot.
Yeah. Maven's, I'm
but
like,
now that you can read, you're just trying to lord it over our daughter.
And I'm just like, is Maven, or is she like me?
No, she's like me. She's a genius. She doesn't care about your alphabet yet. She's bigger than that.
Well, the main point is that she's now into it. And so she's trying now. And she is learning. Like there are some.
She's been good about it because I was telling her I was trying to explain W to her the other day when we were going through this weird little pre-K workbook thing that Bryn has.
Yeah, they love that workbook.
And I was like, this page you're supposed to find all the W's. Here's a W, there's a W. And she was like, no, that's an M. And she loves to like fight you on something and then hold it.
Yeah.
And then I feel like by the end of it, she was sort of like, W. Like she was like taking it in.
Yeah, she's doing more of that. Whereas before, she would be so excited that we were giving her the attention that she was just thinking about how she's going to deliver whatever she's going to say and not processing at all what we're actually asking her. She's just like, time to perform.
I think she's processing it. She's just sort of like, let me mess with your expectations of learning.
Right. Well, Brynn actually gets on board now. We read that workshop book, that workbook. And I'm like, Maven, what's this? And Brynn now won't give it away. And he'll actually be patient.
Well, I was trying to explain to him that he could like trace, he could practice the letters in there, and he was not really getting it. But
no, he thinks it's a bedtime story.
We bought his back to school supplies, which is very exciting for you.
Oh my gosh, it was emotional. I didn't connect with you how emotional I got. But
well, it's funny because your original plan was that you would take him to Staples because you love back to school supplies, and I was a little bit annoyed because I love back to school supplies, and so I did not enjoy the assumption that you thought that was going to be your thing.
Well, that was my dad's thing, and so I was trying to be my dad.
Yeah, my dad also loves office supplies.
Yeah,
but
I was happy we went together.
We all went together, and our kids ran around Staples. They had the time of their lives, and
we used a shared Google Note with a checklist.
You guys got to get on these Google.
Not a Google. Apple Notes.
The Notes app in your iPhone. You can share your notes.
And you can make check boxes.
Which we mostly use for our grocery list, which has been pretty good.
But this was the most efficient.
This was your very exciting moment.
The most efficient school shopping ever. I didn't have this technology when I was a kid. We had a piece of paper.
A piece of paper.
Where is this piece of paper? I need a number 2 Ticonderoga.
And
Ticonderoga?
I have to say, the school supply list for Brynn for a kindergartner was like $100 worth of school supplies.
Oh, it
like,
was 100 and it was more than that.
It was so much. They were like, they wanted like 12 pack of thick markers, a 12 pack of thin markers. They want like crayons, notebook, like
it supplies so, for the whole class.
I understand that it supplies for the whole class, but it's a big ask. Like,
yeah,
I hope that they're doing this big ask under the assumption that like
some
kids
do
just don't do it.
I'm certain of that.
I hope so, but
I mean, if you don't do it, there's no system in place for them to be like, you have to.
That's probably true. It's just like,
because we didn't do it for pre-K.
Well, it worries me just like that these certain kids getting this list and their parents being like, I have to suddenly budget like $150 for a kindergartner. Like, this is insane. Like, it's just not, for a lot of people, that is not sustainable. Like, that's not.
There's been language, and I've been reading, you know, I have all the kindergarten paperwork, and the system generally seems to acknowledge that's different. People have different.
Yeah. Needs. I mean, maybe we're like really good marks because they were like, the people who love office supplies will just snatch it all up.
They're going to get exactly what's on this.
They can't help themselves. They love Staples.
Oh, was the amount on the page? You look on the shelf and there's only one smaller and one bigger. You know you're going to get bigger. Well, I almost got the 10 ounces of Purell hand wash, but it asked for 12, so instead I got 33.
Anyway, the classroom is well-stocked, hopefully. I don't know where they're going to store it all.
That was the big thing at pre-K. I was like, oh, I didn't do it the first day, and I came in, and I saw that it was just not, the stuff was
just jam-packed with tissues.
And they're like, please, just bring it in the middle of the year. And I said, I will, and then I didn't.
Oops. We were not good. We've talked about this. We're not the most reliable parents in pre-K.
Oh, I was a mystery reader. We've been over that.
I just mean in terms of like, you know, sending a photo of our family and...
I did that. We did that.
No, but there was some family thing where we were supposed to send like a description of our holidays and then we never did it.
The worksheet about what our family traditions are.
Yeah.
It was too hard a question. I didn't know how to answer it. I was like, I don't know, Christmas?
And then we just never did.
We never did.
And then they like made a whole book for the whole class.
And Brynn's family was not included.
Ours is the only family that was not included. This next segment is called Would You Knows. It's where we present parenting hypotheticals to one another.
Should I add a whispered repeat of the title from now on?
Would You Knows.
Would You Knows.
You whispering that reminded me that Maven continues to say ad nauseum, I love you. I love you.
She did it to me today, Beth. Her love is was now just overflowing so much that you couldn't contain all the love. She had to give some to me.
Are you happy with that?
Yeah, it melted my heart. My 3-year-old daughter going, Daddy, I love you.
She's obsessed. I think I need to make her like a music playlist of love songs so that she has kind of an outlet for her overwhelming love.
Oh my God, Beth. I heard a song came on random on my phone. There's a George Harrison song from the mid-70s that's like got 6 words in it. And it's basically just, I love you. But like really drawn out with this big band and this like this big, big build up. And then it crescendos with I love you. The song's called You.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking on the train and it came on and that crescendo of I love you. And I thought about you and I got teary on the train platform and I almost texted you the song to say I love you. I'm thinking about you.
I had a similar moment today. I was listening to Stevie Wonder's Knocks Me Off My Feet. But I sent it to my best friend and not you.
I had a reason.
Sorry.
I was like, I'm going to send this to you. But then I got a cut. And I was like, she won't like this song.
Why do you think I wouldn't like it?
I think I tried to show it to you.
Oh, because it's like late post-Beatles.
It's like mid-70s George Harrison.
Yeah.
The song's about nothing other than literally, I love you. And it's just big and emotional. I'm going to play it for you on the break. Would You Knows? This comes to us from Eric. Anne of Green Gables edition. Hi, Beth and Peter. This summer, my wife and I took a road trip along with our 1.5-year-old son through New England and Canada and listened to episodes of your podcast. Listening to episodes of your podcast was a great way to pass some of the long stretches in the car. One of our stops was on Prince Edward Island to visit attractions inspired by Anne of Green Gables. And I've been thinking hard since then about how to turn some of the scenarios that Anne found herself into a Would You Know scenario. Most of the things I could think of just seemed a little too much of a stretch. But one of your topics last week finally inspired me. Flash forward to when Maven is 12 years old. Okay, we're into the would you knows.
Okay.
Maven is 12 years old or so.
I'm already on board with this.
I knew you would be. She goes back into the archives and listens to that episode of the podcast and hears to her dismay that her mother said she didn't trust people with blonde hair. She races out of the house and happens upon some random person selling black hair dye, quote unquote black hair dye, on the street corner and buys it. Hair dye for sale. But when she applies it, it turns her hair a hideous shade of green.
Oh, no.
You come upon Maven crying in her bed and in dismay at how her hair looks. What would you say to her? Would you make her wear it to school like that? Give her a really short haircut? Something more creative?
A short haircut.
Beth, if you need more details, it's chapter 27 in the book.
Oh, chapter 27.
Thanks for your weekly dose of entertaining parenting stories. It's given me lots to look forward to as our little one grows up. Eric.
There's so much I love about this question. New England, Canada, Anne of Green Gables. Complete sidebar. Maven, so I went on this sort of epic trip to Marshall's this week.
Ooh.
On the weekend.
Epic trip to Marshall's.
It's not interesting, but I went to a nearby Stop and Shop to go to the Coinstar machine to unload our coins.
Okay.
And then I had some cash. And then I saw there was a Marshall's next door and I was like,
what am I going to do with all this cash?
I'm going to snag some deals. And so I'm not normally in Marshall's and things are cheap. And I found,
I don't know what to do with myself.
This is like, I'm completely derailing from the question, but I'm going to get back to it. I got some really epic gifts for Maven, which is one was like a size 6 Betsy Johnson dress in pink with a black bow, which she loves.
It's a good looking dress.
Well, and when you go to Marshall's, it's like a dress that was originally $60 and it's now like $12.
Yeah, they got you with that sale.
And I was like, a $12 Betsy Johnson dress for my daughter who loves pink?
Yes, please.
And then I found this was like the major score for me and Maven, which was an Adidas tracksuit in pale pink.
Pale pink tracksuit.
And she loves it. I was so excited because pale pink athleisure, I think, is like the synthesis of me and Maven's style, where she gets the pink and I get the sort of like sporty girl vibes. And so I was like, I don't know. Like, I think she's going to like this because she has another shirt that's sort of like a similar vibe. And she's really into it, and she was trying to try it on a lot this weekend, even though it's very hot, and yeah. It's like a polyester tracksuit.
It does not breathe.
And it, well, I love it on so many levels because when my sister was little, she was a huge tomboy, now a known lesbian, and she when she was little, she seemed like a tomboy, which at the time it seemed like she just inherited from me as the, you know, the original tomboy of the Newell family.
Do you ever feel jealous that she just overshadowed your tomboyhood?
Every day. But she at one point got this t-shirt and shorts that were printed with a Power Ranger pattern.
Oh,
so
boy.
It was like a full Power Ranger outfit.
And she was born in 1990.
She was born in 1990. It was a pink Power Ranger outfit. And she was obsessed with it and loved it, which again felt like sort of just an extension of me because I had similar like sweatsuits that I wouldn't remove from my body. But she notoriously, we went to a family reunion and it was like picture night and she was wearing this Power Ranger outfit every single day, and it was like, we're taking photos as a family tonight, we really need to strangle you into a dress. And she wouldn't have it, and she insisted
we're not going to wrestle you into the dress, we're going to strangle you into a dress.
Well, we did, like, my parents did for like my aunt and uncle's wedding, and so there's photos of her crying at that event. But then by this point I think they had just sort of given up. It was probably the same summer or something, and so we have a family photo where everyone's dressed up formally, and my sister is in the pink Power Ranger t-shirt and shorts because they didn't want to fight her anymore. And this is also like the era where my sister, instead of sucking her thumb, she sucked on her arm, which is like a really adorable habit.
It was like her forearm, right? Like the fatty part of the forearm?
Yeah, like if you held your forearm up to your face and you sucked on the fatty part.
It's about where it reaches. I'm doing it now.
She had a red mark there for years because she'd sucked on it. And even when she got older and stopped sucking it, sometimes if you tried to pull that skin taut, there would be a bulge.
Permanent damage.
There would be just like a protrusion of skin because it had been so trained to be sucked. I hope she's listening. And anyway, a very adorable age for my sister, which now Maven really resembles my sister in their shared blondness and love of pink outfits. Yeah. So anyway, Maven looked very cute in the Adidas tracksuit, and it was very reminiscent of that time.
Speaking of Anne of Green Gables.
But then anyway, while I was at Marshall's, I also found like a hair painting, hair chalk thing for kids.
Oh,
you can put this hair color,
in your hair.
This very temporary streaks of color in your hair. And I was like, it was like a trip to the store where I was like, it's Bryn's birthday.
This logic did not make sense to me.
Bryn should really be getting stuff for his birthday, but there were so many things happening that I was like, Maven would love this. And I've already bought gifts for Bryn. So I bought this hair color kit for, again, very cheap. You can't beat the deals.
And then you wrapped it up and gave it to Bryn.
No. So here's the logic that was happening is the night before Bryn's birthday, Saturday night, you were gone. I was left to wrap 20 presents alone.
Good job. I was
trying to sort them into piles, and then I was tired. And I was like, which one should be for the party? Which ones should be for tomorrow? And I got really tired, and I was like, you know what? Just start wrapping. So I started wrapping, and then I lost track. I totally forgot that one of them was the hair dye stuff. And Bryn opened it on his birthday, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's for Maven. But
yeah, luckily he had no interest in it.
Yeah, he didn't care.
That was very my Christmas every year. With some present I'd open and there'd be a post-it note on it. And it's like, Andrew, present number 7.
Well,
and I was like, oh, that's Andrew's.
That was like, that's kind of the beauty, I think, of wrapping presents now, is knowing that your mom and my mom have had a lot of mom moments where they don't do presents correctly. They're tired. They're trying to do presents for everyone in the family. And so when I was wrapping presents, I was sort of like, you know what? It doesn't matter. These people are getting presents. Yeah. I'm not worrying about these things. I'll sort them out after they're wrapped and I don't know what's in what package. I don't care anymore. I'm tired. It's Saturday night and I'm wrapping a lot of presents.
Beth, I think that's good for you. Because I think you worry about, you don't say it out loud, but it's taken me a long time to realize that you worry about everybody a lot. And I think sometimes more than you should.
It's hard not to. And I
think that's also your impulse to be like, just give him some presents now. You're worried he's going to be upset for that. I'm like, I'm not worried about him.
No,
just give him
but
one party.
I think
it's going to be great.
I think he really enjoyed yesterday and it was good. And
yeah,
now he's going to have a party where he's inevitably going to be overloaded with stimulation at some point. And it doesn't make sense to try to give him every single present on that day when other people are bringing presents to our house.
That's fair. That's fine.
But I also, like, with present wrapping is really hard for me because I'm a Virgo. And I love,
I don't know what that means.
I love to be particular about details and I love to make things beautiful. And I went to art school and I know I could do an amazing job at wrapping presents. But it doesn't matter. And people are about to throw the paper away the second they see it.
That's true.
So
if you have time and it's something you would enjoy, then get fastidious. But if you don't, then it doesn't matter. Fuck it.
But like this, like the difference between you and me and many men is like you have to like remind yourself to consider other people and aesthetics and things. And I have to talk myself down from expectations of like taking care of everyone and making the present perfect. Like, because my impulse is to do it perfectly.
And to stress the fuck out.
Yeah.
That it's not, I think you're absolutely right. I won't lump all men into me, but that's
no,
true for
it's
me.
Not all men, but I do think like,
I do think
more men than women are like, what? I'm supposed to wrap this? Like, I just sent you an Amazon package. Like it's,
we're learning to be each other in very positive ways. I think it has brought us much closer together. I've learned to think more like you, and you've learned to think more like me.
Yeah, I have to constantly tell myself to be selfish and stop thinking about people.
Yeah, I don't have to tell myself that at all. It just happens.
Well, I will say, though, like, your dad and I share a birthday. We're both Virgos, and we're both, like, I think very tuned in on holidays and stuff to, like, trying to do this sort of thing. Although, in your dad's case, because he's a man, your mom does a lot of presents and stuff.
Oh, no.
But
my mom would disagree. My dad is, it was not true when he was my age, but as he got older, he took over the presents. And he's
right,
got a
but
system.
Like, your mom, by nature of being a woman and the stay-at-home mom, she like does the meals and like a lot of stuff your dad's not really thinking about.
Yes, yes.
But because your dad and I have this shared birthday Virgo thing, like we are very tuned in. And I remember having a conversation with him in front of like you and your mom where I was like, I have to remind myself sometimes like that they're, it's not that they are thinking of doing the considerate thing and then ignoring it or deciding not to do it. It's that it's not occurring to them in the first place.
Something else currently has our focus.
Right.
And what it is, I don't know.
But that's something I have to constantly remind myself as I go through the world as like a overly sensitive person is like it, because it feels like people are constantly being cruel sometimes.
And you know what? This makes a lot of sense. Sorry, I interrupted you, but I'm really connecting with like, I think some of, not any like recent conflicts, but historically between us, where I would do things and you'd really make me feel like you thought I like really deliberately made this choice to be neglectful.
It took a long time for me to learn that it wasn't calculated, because it's so, my sister and I were talking about this because she was talking about a study where they talked about like, they measured like if you were in a grocery store and you're pushing your cart along, how aware are you of like whether your cart is in someone's way or blah, blah, blah. And me and my sister are very like constantly aware of that kind of thing of like the greater good and how can I help these people around me and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's not necessarily like we're trying to make a conscious choice to be good people or what considerate. It's just like we can't help ourselves. Like that's just the way we're wired. And so it's hard to understand sometimes that other people are not having the same level of external stimulation. Like they're not picking up on those things. And so it's not a calculated move on their part to ignore other people's needs.
Well, it's I think you agree. I agree. Although for me, it's not with strangers, because that scenario you described, I am overly aware of strangers and anyway, personal space and all so that. It's with people that I love and I'm around.
Okay. But we need to get to the question.
And Green Gables.
Which
okay.
was about
Maven's
hair color.
She turned her hair green.
She turned her hair
she
green.
She really fucked it up.
I think, I mean.
In my mind, though, it looks cool.
Yeah. In my mind, I think I would be like wanting to sort of help her experiment with the color, like either embrace it or try like another color like pink or something wild where it's just like.
You know what this green could use? Some pink. I think those will mix together.
Well.
Into brown.
There was something in the news recently and I can't remember who, but it was like, you know, like gossip magazines were reporting on like one celebrity mom dyed her kid's hair and then she got a lot of flack for doing that because hair dye is supposedly dangerous or whatever. And then this other celebrity mom was like, hey, I saw the criticism so-and-so is getting. I'm taking my daughter to the salon to get her hair dyed. And it's just like when you do like manic panic, like pink blue hair dye, it's not the same level of like dangerous as certain like very chemical hair dyes. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I didn't know any of this at all.
Anyway, I can't remember who the specifics of who this was, but I was like very into it because I do think like for Maven, who happens to have very blonde hair that would take color well, mm-hmm. unlike my hair.
you're dumb dark hair.
My dumb dark hair. I was like, that's cool, like that she could from an early age experiment with her look. So I kind of do hope to like, in addition to the temporary hair color we put in this weekend, I would love to help her experiment with this. I think we would hopefully get to that before this this incident that the listener
she's 12 and
has
she has to go
presented.
To the black market hair dye. yeah, I mean.
But I don't think we would get there because, I mean.
The description says it's a hideous shade of green.
I mean, we were joking a lot on the last episode, but I do want to say, like, I have very close blonde friends. I was joking.
You can't backpedal from this very clear stance.
When my daughter tells me on a daily basis how much she loves me, I do say it back to her and I tell her she's beautiful.
I don't tell her she's beautiful.
Well, because she tells me I'm beautiful and I feel like I have to return the compliment.
Why do women have to do that for each other?
This is one of those like feminist things where prior to having kids, I had more of like a staunch take of like not enforcing beauty norms or whatever. But then when you have a daughter who is like excited about the way she looks, it's like, oh, she should love her appearance and love herself. And this is great. You know, like you're not like, as much as I want to dig in and be like, let's not enforce pink culture or beauty culture or whatever.
She's found pink culture.
A three-year-old who just loves herself and loves colors. And it's like, you know what? Let her have that. We can wait till she's older before the world like shakes all of her joy out of her. You know?
Yeah. Well, I'm still not doing it. I want to.
You're not telling her she's beautiful?
No, I'm telling her she's so cool and smart and funny.
I think that's okay. Like, she should also be told she's cool and smart and funny. Like, I just think, like, if she's, like, telling me I'm beautiful, I'm sort of like, you're beautiful too.
I think it's different. Fine. It's all fine.
I think it's a little different coming from me than coming from you because it would, I mean, it's creepier if a dad is just, like, only talking to his daughter about her looks.
Yeah.
But secondly, it's not in my personality to like talk about looks a lot.
No, it's
not. It's clearly not going to be like, there's some people I know, I think, who had moms who like enforced a really like appearance-based reinforcement idea of themselves. And I just don't think I have it in me
to do that.
Like, because my mom was never really like that. Like
my mom loved to tell me how handsome I was.
I mean, I do think anyone our mom's age was a little bit like into diet culture and being thin just because of the culture they lived in. But I don't, like, my mom specifically was not like overly obsessed with my appearance.
Well, you turned out great.
And I'm perfect.
So I would say, whoa, Maven. You did not need, we would have gotten you a hair dye.
We would say, hey, Maven, cool green hair.
Well, actually, here's the question. If she said, hey, can I dye my hair black? I'm 12. Would we say yes?
Black?
12?
I think I would have to do some research because, like I was saying, the manic, there's certain hair dyes that are more temporary. Like manic panic hair dye is not a permanent hair dye. And I think just in terms of chemicals, I would want to, I guess, do more research because I'm not someone who's well-versed in this kind of thing, but I would want to...
All right. So let's pretend that there's no chemical issue. What if it's just an aesthetic, like I want to dye my hair?
Well, then, yeah, I think kids should have autonomy over their own bodies and be allowed to self-express.
I always feel that way. And then I see some people whose kids are like, I don't want to get my hair cut. And they just have like this just mess on their head. And it's not even like long. And it's just
like,
make that kid cut their hair.
I feel real old when that happens. When I was in fifth grade, my best friend and I had really long hair, like down to our butts. And this is what kind of we at Reductress and other people sometimes refer to as like horse hair girls. But it's just like very long, unkempt hair. And I finally went, I don't think I went anywhere. I think my mom just trimmed my hair and it was not that much shorter, but it was like halfway up my back. And I had a fifth grade teacher who was like, honestly, a real bitch. And she saw me with my trimmed hair and she goes, you cut your hair. And she said it was so much relief.
Thank God.
And that's how I knew in fifth grade, my looks were for everyone else's pleasure.
Anyway, Eric, I guess we cut her hair.
We cut all of her hair off.
Cut it off, buzz it off, and say, next time think twice before you go to that creepy guy in the corner for your quote-unquote black hair dye.
We didn't really answer a question, but I hope you enjoyed our answer. This next segment is called Listeners Want to Knows. It's where we take questions and comments from you guys.
All right. We got another voicemail. Can we just, before we move on, I just want to say once again how thankful we are for all of the, this is a very sexy podcast for parents, and this podcast got me pregnant reviews that you've read. But I will say no one yet has written in with a review of our newest request, which is, I believe, ouch, I love this podcast.
Do we need to give a new prompt?
No, that's the prompt. I want at least one ouch, I love this podcast.
Okay.
And then we can go to a new one. All right, but this is a voicemail from Andy from Minneapolis. Let's take a listen.
Hi, Beth and Peter. It's Andy. I'm calling from Minneapolis. Having one of those days where I just dropped my kids off at daycare, and you know those days where you're just like, bye. And then sometimes you go to work and then you miss them, but then you pick them up and they're crazy and you didn't need to pick them up early. Anyways, so love your show. Listen to you guys all the time. Curious on your POV on tantrums. We've got a almost 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, but the 4-year-old's tantrums are getting pretty epic. And there's times, you know, where he's going to take a T-shirt and throw it across the room and it doesn't go anywhere and it's kind of adorable and funny. But then there's, like, more serious times, like legit will, like, flip a, like, kid's art table. Not okay. Just would love your POV. Would you know what to do if your kid flipped a table? I want to let them experience emotions and kind of support that process. But at the same time, especially when safety is a concern, what do you do? And like concrete advice of like, what do you say? What do you do? Maybe a little crowdsourcing from your amazing listeners and from you guys. Much appreciated. Love the podcast. Bye.
Wow.
Can I just say, first of all, to hear such the dulcet tones of a Minnesota. By the way, I lived in Minnesota from age 10 to through high school. When I get really tired, my Minnesota comes out and I say, Beth, where's my phone? I want to go home. So I liked hearing you talk. Andy, that was creepy. Was that creepy? Sorry, Beth, go ahead.
Great question, Andy. Unfortunately, I don't know that we know the answer to this because I feel like we're sometimes struggling with the same thing, which is that our kids do have these tantrums. I think, again, I've said it in recent episodes, like, I think we have better boundaries with Maven because she's the second kid where we see it coming and we're like, hey, none of this bullshit. Like, we've done like, this before. Like,
hey, Maven, none of this bullshit.
But Bryn's tantrums have escalated to be more physical, like she's describing. And it's like, Bryn will kick and punch. And some of the advice that I've seen, I'm blanking on the name of this parenting technique / guru, but there's a very predominant person who claims that, like, with toddlers especially, you kind of, like, hold their hand and you say, I'm not going to let you hit people. I'm not going to let you hit people. And you try to stay calm.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what I do with Bryn, but it feels sort of below his...
This is
pay grade.
Totally what I do with Bryn. First and foremost, like, the sooner I see it coming, the first thing I do is tell myself to turn off all aggression in myself.
That's the goal
is to be like, if I show any aggression back, it's a reward. He is rewarded.
And it's escalating.
And it escalates.
Situation.
And it's going to lead to a thing where he gets really upset and then they blow up. And then at the end, you come back together and you're like, hey, I'm sorry, we're good. And in the end, he's learned that he was rewarded for that whole thing.
But it is hard now because, as he would say, at 5, he's big and strong.
He is very big and
strong. And you have to physically wrestle him into kind of a hold. And
but honestly, 1-2-3 magic has stopped these for me a lot of that time. So long as I stay calm and I'm like, okay, we can't do this. And then if he doesn't do it, if he doesn't do what I want, I ignore it for a little bit, and then I come back and I go, all right, it's time to do this. And then if he doesn't do it and he starts to get upset, you know, if he starts to get aggressive, then it's clear boundaries. It's being not wavering at all in like what you're quote unquote threatening. Again, showing no emotion. It's just, okay, if you keep doing this, you're going to have some alone time. And then I like walk away from him. If he gets violent or he throws something, I take him to his room and then I close the door. And if he starts throwing stuff, I go in and I go, if you throw any more stuff that's dangerous, I'm going to have to hold you, okay? And then I leave right away. And that's another thing I've started to do, which is I give him the consequences. I say, if you do this, I'm going to do this. And then I leave. Because if I then stare him down to be like, do you understand? Then he's just getting the aggression part, and then he'll try to be defiant.
Right. I try to avoid the, like, that kind of staring down or being like, are you going to do what I said? Like, it yeah. just escalates it. And so I do try to do that. I had that with him last night where I was like, you need to put on your pull-up for bed. And then he was like freaking out and he wouldn't do it. And then I took off his pants against his will and he was like flipping out. And then he was like naked from the waist down and like not putting on his pull-up. And I had to just ignore him for a while. He was like half naked, like sort of processing what was happening. And he was like, Maven also had a moment like this weekend where she was just like,
this happened tonight also, by the way.
She was freaking out and she didn't want to do something. And then she started like trying to tear apart books and stuff. Like she's, again, this is why I say she's smarter, is she knows how to, like, her brain is working more quickly in terms of, like, how can I really make people mad? And so she's like, I could tear apart these books. And she, like, so I have to, like, restrain her now, which I hate. And it's just, like, it is a real challenge to stay calm and be like, I'm not going to let you hurt people. I'm not going to let you break things.
Maeve and I've had to go, all right, if you throw that again, I'm gonna have to take you. You're gonna have to have some alone time. And she'll throw something and I go, okay, I'll go really quick and I'll pick her up and put her in a room and leave immediately. And then she'll come back out in 3 minutes and I'll ignore her. And that's the big thing also, is that when it's over and they come back, I don't do the like, so what did we learn? I just pretend like it didn't happen. And now there's no reward for having gone through it. But Maven will come out, and I'll just start talking to her about something else, and then she's fine.
Yeah.
But Bryn tonight wouldn't put his pull-up on, and, you know, he's 5, so I'm like, okay, we should maybe start not doing the pull-up. So I'm like, you don't have to do a pull-up if you want. Just go to the bathroom before you go to bed, and he wouldn't do that. And so I started reading Maven books, and he's like, I need you to do it for me. I'm like, no, you're 5. You can put it on by yourself. And then I'm like, all right, I'm going to count to 3 and 1. And then he ran to the pull-up to start doing it. And then I started reading the book. And then he wouldn't get in bed. I go, Bryn, you got to get in bed. And he hadn't put the pull-up on. And I say, if you don't put the pull-up on, I'm turning out the lights and we're going to bed right now. 1, 2, 3. And he thought I was bluffing. And so I go, all right, good night. I put Maven in bed. I turned out the light. We didn't do any books. And then he was on the ground screaming. And I just left him in there. And I went back in 20 minutes later and put on his pull-up. And weirdly, it worked because he just gave in.
Yeah, it's hard to say depending on the day. They don't have as much discipline with me. They, like, Bryn, I was threatening last night. Like, I was like, if you don't put your pull-up on, I'll just read these books to Maven. He was kind of annoyed. And then I was like, I guess we won't read your new books that you got for your birthday, because he's been asking for this one book for weeks that he got for his birthday. And he was sort of like, didn't believe me or whatever. And then when I gave him that cooling off period, I think it finally set in that he was like, I'm going to miss my chance to hear this new book.
Oh, it's really helped to say that, like, bedtime's 7:30, lights out at 8. So if they're going slow, I go, all right, well, it's almost lights out time. So however many books. Oh my gosh, this morning, Beth. He was getting dressed, and I go, I introduced the concept of timing him. I said, I'll time you, and I showed it on my Apple Watch, and I go, you have 30 seconds, do it. And he was so excited, and he got dressed. Well, it took him 10 minutes and 45 seconds.
10 minutes, that's a long time.
Because he picked a button-down shirt, and he insisted on buttoning all the buttons himself. So that took 8 minutes.
He wore the new shirt today?
Yeah.
That's exciting.
But then I told him, like, tomorrow you get to try to beat your time. And all day he's been talking about it. He's like, I'm going to beat time. I'm like, no, you're going to beat your time. He's like, yeah, I'm going to beat time.
I guess he is at that age. I can't remember if we talked about this already, but someone I know was talking about like tips to prepare your kids for kindergarten, and they were like, make sure you tell your kids, like, maybe practice eating lunch out of a lunchbox and make sure they can eat within, like, 15 minutes because kids are not given a lot of time to eat lunch, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, actually, I think we're good because our son has been getting in trouble at daycare for eating too fast. And according to Maven, who's reporting back to me, Brandon's been in trouble for making it a competition with the other kids and trying to win. And the people at daycare have to be like, it's not a competition. You don't have to race.
Well, they're like, Barry may even like to comment that I eat way too fast. I'm always done before they even start. Well,
great dad.
This has been another episode of We Knows Parenting. If you'd like to send us a Would You Know scenario or some mail, please email us at weknowspod@gmail.com.
You can check us out online at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Our page is We Knows Pod.
And hey, why not leave us a review? Again, the title is Oops! Or no, it's Ouch! I love this podcast. And then write whatever the hell you want.
And you guys can send us some emails at weknowspod@gmail.com.
You know, or like that thing I said at the beginning of this plug.
Or leave us a voicemail at 347-384-7396.
And have a great time. We'll see you next week, babies.
Bye.